We got Casey Kasem, Barney Casey Kasem, CCC.
Yeah. And A.
A-Ram.
There's entirely too many pen names and pseudonyms in this community.
From my butthole to achieve greatness.
What? Those are your first immortal words. I'm spelling my name the right way on your fucking phone, douche.
Yeah. Yeah. We are a low budget podcast operation.
Can we talk about that in the first 5 minutes?
There's no text message ever.
Geiger picture on the wall. How it sets a place. How to deal with our users. How they set a place. They bring an energy to an area.
That one does. These. Not much.
Why does one mean more than the other?
Out of fascination and pure desire.
Alright. Can you frame that question in the form of an answer, please? Yeah.
Here. I want to see it come up now. Alright. Just so you say it out loud.
Three times.
There you go. I will call Ray Sell. Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, my computer. My computer can pick up the cell phone.
Yes.
That noise is actually the cell phone.
Flex-throb? Oh, it doesn't. It's Cockmaster Flex-throb. Yes, that'll be my phone name. If anybody calls me, just call. Ask for the Cockmaster Flex-throb.
Grizzle. Yes.
Entirely too many names.
Okay. How do we use art as a portal into my mind?
No, into a space. It brings energy to a place. Space, you kind of have meaning.
No. To each viewer, there is a particular own self-reasoning.
Well, there is, but in this particular sense, we're saying that...
Are we being partial?
Yeah.
You can take it
however direction you want, man. I mean, that's up to you. But I understand why you're saying that. So that you're actually... two squares down on the individuality. You're like, you're looking at, from your perspective, it only affects individuals. So that's like two steps into individual.
No, it affects everybody. But you essentially make it to ask this question to people, is, you know, how does that affect you?
Okay. Is that why you do art?
I think that's a satisfied reason.
Then why did they put the cave paintings so far away inside the cave so it took forever to get to them?
So you were satisfied when you saw that motherfucker. You were tired. You sweated a little bit.
Okay, so it's
they were like it was setting. A pilgrimage so for them is what that was. You can't deny it.
That's true. It's so art is set and setting. It's both. Right? So it's a theater. So what you're saying is it isn't just the piece itself. It's a theater. It's the place that...
No, what I'm saying, if you're going to go on that basis, it is the... then it would have to be the surroundings. It's whatever you want it to be. It's not something I verbalize or you verbalize. It's whatever you want it to fucking be.
Well, yeah, but you're going to talk about it. You have to verbalize it.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to. You can't just say, this is art.
Imagine this construct that I, too, am imagining.
You know,
I did. You play that back. All sorts of shit going on.
Oh, I'm sure. There's cell phone madness just a moment ago. There's all sorts of shit.
It's whatever you need it to be, man. I don't know. There's a way to define it.
Okay.
A lot of ways.
It would be okay. What about it being used as magical gateways for energy being passed through?
Can you manifest a certain, say, emotional stage, a certain emotional energy from a piece?
Yeah.
In everyone who sees it.
I do when I touch it.
How did you do that? It's just pigments. Did you impart meaning to the pigments?
I did this.
Okay.
As hard as I could.
So you invested it with some sort of spiritual energy.
No, I farted.
Okay, well that is gas. And gas is a spirit in a form of energy.
It is.
We're going to get back to shitting ourselves, I'm sure. I've shit myself. It is a scary experience when you realize you've done it. Yes, when you realize it has happened,
yes.
You are like, oh my god, I did that.
It's okay to do it.
All right. I have 3-2 essential minutes.
We have 2 minutes to wrap this up.
To wrap it up, we should look at what we just did and describe it.
That's right, we illuminated the eyes. That's Aaron.
Oh, describe it.
You describe it now.
Okay. This is
plastic.
Mine.
The analogs.
What?
Manifestation of super organism, four-legged starfish.
I see vagina monologues.
I see ass, penis, clitoris, halo. No, I see it right there. Look, there's ass.
There's a word there, too.
There's penis, there's clitoris. I see nothing. I see breasts.
I see
nothing.
Bitch, hoe.
I see lots and lots of sexual things here.
Ladybug.
I don't see. Oh, I just now see the ladybug. Yeah, that one's lost. I see ass, tits, penis.
What is this? This is a psychological construct mechanism? No, that's not what it is.
It's a machine.
No, what is the name of that?
The penis.
No, the PCM.
Penis, cunt, motherfucker.
All right. Yeah, there was some sort of psychological
paranoid critical method.
All right. Yes. And you don't see all of the sexual things that he does there. I don't think.
I see them, but I don't look for them. Even some butthead reaction is a little wild.
I was never actually going there.
But somehow you managed to draw all the sexual organs together over that.
So I am Austin Spare.
Yeah. You are a Freudian theory.
You are a Freudian theory.
Yeah. 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 That'd be lovely. Alright, we're gone.
Be gone with ya. It is bloody in hell.
Right. Alright, we're out.
It's all screwed up out there, man, but you don't need me to tell you that. You already know. You can see it for yourself, even the weather's gone crazy, and the wind blows. And the policeman's got a license now, buddy, he can shoot you on sight. Some sniveling politician playing savior to the Christians, got us so wound up we can't sleep at night. Rich kids they drive around drunk in the daddy's Mercedes Benz. And they try to tell me that the means somehow justify the ends, and that's bullshit. God damn it, man. How the hell of them all? I just want to get stoned. But get a degree and so what? Ain't gonna be no jobs. My best friend's girlfriend went to Mexico to keep working. dig this, man. She builds forts. Well, she's gone now, and you know what that means. I'll have to do myself tonight. Wash my own dirties, even roll my own doobies. It's all good, it just don't feel right. And I got voices in my head, going to let me think in a bit. Get me out of house and home, break every drop that was left in the house to drink. And I just hate that shit, god damn it, man. Out of hell with them all. He head straight for the bar. Come home and beat the crap out of me. He told me, you ungrateful little punk, I'm trying to toughen you up for the Chinese and Armageddon and World War III. And I said, yeah, man, but even a king can be brought down by a girl. And then the pretender can step in and steal the crown and try to take over the world. Bomb third world countries back into the Stone Age. We got mass murder in our schools. You think we're so evolved, man? Check out the front page. We barely crawled out of the primordial ooze. Oh, the goddamn world's gone crazy. Lost our collective minds, one and all. But since we're already screwed, man, let's get stoned.
Okay, first we need a lighter.
To start the audio ritual.
There you go.
My lighter, even.
Okay. Here's my point. I've been working on this hyperglyphics article for so long now that I'm starting to question my own thesis. Like, I think I understood. It started when I read an interview with Alan Moore where he asked, you know, can an idea be so complex that it starts to act as if it's alive? And he also shows that in Prometheus. So, what was your point?
That as much as I distrust Alan Moore, I'm going to give him way more credit than he deserves and empower all of his projects more by saying this, but I don't think that... He didn't just come out and wonder that out loud, I'm sure... He thought about that and constructed something, and him saying that, those are magical words designed to breathe life into something. He put that idea and meme out there, and enough people that would see that and have that idea would give, that's enough energy to be put into something. So, Alan Moore creates it's all a magical construct. He decides that he wants to do this. The means to doing it is bringing up this idea that maybe we could do this.
Well, he does do it.
Like, well, Prometheus. Yeah, he did do it. But Prometheus, the only reason why Prometheus worked is when you read all that stuff in the very first issues about this origin of Prometheus, there are so many lines blurred between real shit and bullshit and Alan Moore's psycho fuck magic shit that's in the middle of it. And Prometheus only works because Alan Moore sets it up, so she's already in your subconscious.
By the time that you get to the character being introduced, she's in the subconscious, so he's empowering an archetype that he placed in your subconscious
yes.
mind. All right.
Yes.
Well, if you go back, and I know... Well, first you have to explain how you feel about when you read Alan Moore comics. Because you're the only person I know that's in the comics that reads Alan Moore and says, I can't read this. Not because it's bad.
No, because it's all generally very, very, very good. But he, I feel that when I read Alan Moore, he sits in his little London, European,
Northampton.
Britain,
Northampton.
Northampton mansion, and giggles to himself as he feeds off of my energy. Somehow, he incorporates into everything that he writes a siphon to gain energy. That's the only reason he's a giant mana battery, and the only reason why he can do this, And I can say this with absolute authority because I worked at the comic book shop for 3 fucking years, and the people that read Alan Moore just read Alan Moore.
They don't buy anything else. They aren't buying Grant Morrison. They aren't buying Jim Lee. Or
only if, you know, if they read something, yeah, if they read, you know, if they get online and they start seeing names tossed around, they might. But people would come in for just Alan Moore.
Well, look at America's Best Comics, you know.
No, see, notice the big difference, though, is that people that would come in for Grant Morrison would also read Warren Ellis.
Yeah, and, because they're probably intelligent. Alan Moore has a legion of zombies buying his comics.
Not just that. Not just that. It wasn't, because Alan Moore, people don't want to really talk about it. They just, Alan Moore's God. But they'd all come in, and they'd want all the Alan Moore spoken word stuff, all the import stuff. Alan Moore is today's Crowley. It's him. It's this ultimate jackass trickster who just spits out voluminous amounts of work that are all completely self-referential to each other,
mm-hmm.
that are all giant, interlacing, interlocking hypersigils that are designed to maintain his philosophy that he exudes on reality. And he does this through his comics, and people eat it up, and he's not doing anything bad because he's a great writer, and he genuinely has talent. But I just feel like I'm on the same side of the fence as him, and I'm looking over going, good one!
Okay, but
good
if,
one!
But if Alan Moore is Aleister Crowley, why is it that he has been fucked over continuously by the comics industry?
Oh, because for the same reason why Crowley labeled himself the Beast, or got that label. That's notoriety. Notoriety equals better energy than what's the opposite of notoriety?
Fame?
Fame, yeah. It's because he's famous for his clashes with Marvel and DC. He's famous for not wanting anything to do with the media machine. And it's like he exists in this pop culture engine, but he maintains somehow he convinces people that he's above it when he's working in it. He's able to shift between macrocosmic and microcosmic on this giant hypersigil is meant to exist on all levels. Because even though he doesn't want anything to do with Watchmen being made or League or Extraordinary or any of that shit, even though he has not, I mean, his name is attached to it. He sells that stuff. I mean, when an Alan Moore movie gets made, people go, oh, fuck, it's an Alan Moore movie. You know, this never happens. We gotta go. You know? And that's, it doesn't even matter. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen sold because all the comic nerds saw that movie because it was Alan Moore.
Yeah.
And he had nothing at all to do with that movie being made. Nothing at all. But somehow Alan Moore was able to vicariously convince all of those people they needed to go throw money at this thing, tell all their friends about it, and somehow convince DC Comics that they needed to put out 2 or 3 more printings of the League of Gentlemen trade paperback, and that all those geeks that went to go see it told their buddies that they needed to read the trade that it was based on because it was better, so they'd come into the store and buy it. I see how this works. I see how it works.
Yeah, so what about Alan Moore putting out the picture with all the demonic sigils, you know, so he was reincorporating it back into the image of himself, devouring the demon, you know. You know what I'm talking about. He put out that print, right? And if you look at it like just right, it's got...
Oh, it's all those magical symbols on it and stuff. Obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously. It's the same reason why he never cuts his hair, shaves his face, and wears all that crazy shit. It's because... Alan Moore is pop culture magic. He is the essence. He is who you channel when you want to do that. In all those fucking books, Watchmen is mentioned.
Swamp Thing. He mentions the Watchmen.
And all these magical chaos magic texts, Alan Moore is mentioned. First.
Okay, what about his take on Superman? I mean, Grant Morrison's doing Superman now, but Alan Moore's take on Superman, did you read that? Did you catch that? Where the fuck is it? In the Swamp Thing, where it shows the JLA.
No, I just saw the cover. I haven't read that.
Okay, so he has Superman. Firestorm says, I could change all the oxygen molecules back into carbon dioxide. And Superman says, do you know how many molecules there are in the Earth's atmosphere? I could count them for you if you want. I mean, he makes Superman not just Superman, but like God, essentially. His take on superheroes seems to transcend the normal take on superheroes.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Look at Tom Strong.
It's because there's no shades of fucking gray in Alan Moore comics. And, I mean, they're all archetypes. Every single one. I mean, he is so ingrained in the mythical essence of reality that there's no everything is archetypical. And I prefer Superman as this. Superman as God is kind of cool because he's an alien first.
Like Legend. Like yeah. The comic Legend.
Exactly. Because he's an alien from a far off planet that was destroyed. You know, he's like he's the sole evacuee. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he immediately lands on the Earth humbled. You know, by design. Mm-hmm. Just happens to look like us. Just happens to. That is so fucking lucky. We as humans could only imagine that type of luck. We don't come into success like that ever. Superman does it twice when he's an infant, twice when he's with the sole evacuee, mm-hmm. and twice when he lands on a planet that everybody looks like him. And so then he grows up, and it's easy for him to be accepted, but not to be accepting of himself. And so when he grows up, I would think, and very much like Supreme Power, there would come a point in Superman's life where he would have to accept the role of godhood.
I think Neil Gaiman says this in the One, or in the intro to the One, or the end of the One trade paperback. But he says that you get to a point where Superman would realize, based on the religion, that he's enmeshed in the cultural religions that already exist when Superman gets to this planet. Right? He would realize that Christ is supposed to come back to Earth. Right.
Right.
And he has the power to walk on water and to float in the air, according to the
We could even make it more simpler than that. Beyond all of his crazy cosmic powers, the reason why Superman, I think, is successful in any form that he's thrown at anybody.
Any media form, cartoon.
In any media form, I think.
Movie, TV.
Oh man, I lost my thought, and that's what the fucking shit does to you. Hold on, I'll catch it. It's reason why he is. It's very, 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 very simple. Because so much effort has been put into the mythology of alien invasion and like subterfuge and clandestine operations and the alien agenda and everything. We have preconceived notions of what it's like. And when you stop to think about the reality of Superman's existence, that is what it is. That's an alien coming to Earth and essentially just kind of like asserting himself. At a point in time.
So he could never be assimilated into the superorganism because he's external to it.
Yes, because the superorganism walks around with this preconceived notion of alien invasion stuff. And Superman does that, and he does it in shades and tones completely different than what the preconceived notion is. So people are able to accept him as savior, as God, as all these other things. It's marketing. It's how it's packaged. Superman is packaged very differently from what he is. He is packaged in red and blue and patriot and country and go, and he has no home. He has no country. He has no sense of kinsmen. Mm-hmm. You know? He's an alien. He has an alien psychology. He might have adapted to everything here, but by design, there's no way that he could. There's no fucking way that this alien creature could be raised from infancy to think completely like a human. There has to come a point in time. Can you imagine Superman's adolescence?
Oh, it must have been hell.
You know, and how long did that last? He hasn't aged a bit, you know? And in fact, if you read Action Comics or One or Superman One, one of the early ones, I have it, Ma and Pa Kent, yeah, they're dead at the end of it. They die. It has Superman going, oh, bummer. I lived so long, you know. Ma and Pa Kent, they're dead now. They're standing over his grave. This is probably Action Comics. And then, what, a few months later, whatever, you know, Superman comes out and they just forget about all that.
And they wash over it. They had to redo the history.
But see, and then you got to read all that old Superman shit because Superman was kicking ass and killing Nazis. Killing people. Kicking ass. Hardcore. But he was still like.
So was Captain America.
So is Captain America. He's got an alien come from exploded planets.
Before we get too far from my thought, I want to hang on to this. Martian Manhunter, then, mm-hmm. represents the other side of Superman. It's like Superman is form, and Martian Manhunter is specter of the same archetype.
Yeah.
Because Martian Manhunter cannot. In fact, most of the time, he's not even anywhere near the population.
Superman represents the ultimate experiment of being able, of that nature versus nurture. You know, Superman is a child taken out of his environment, raised in a completely different alien environment.
Adopted.
Adopted, even, yeah. Adopted and adapted and evolved. Was forced to evolve in the same ways that these other people were forced to. I mean, it's an amazing thing to read, because when you read Superman, you're reading an ongoing psychological experiment. You know? An ongoing psychological experiment going both ways. What does it do to this? I mean, it's essentially something that could really happen, you know? This is catastrophe plan for what happens when the shit really happens. An alien crash downs on the planet, and fuck, now what do we do? Mm-hmm. We gotta make him American and patriotic, and we gotta make him the savior of these people.
Yeah.
And the other end of that is, us as people, how do we respond to archetypes that are already ingrained in our brains? They're gonna deliver us a savior, be able to market, package, save.
I can't help but think of Supreme Power when you're bringing this up.
That's what it is.
Supreme Power said, okay, this is what Superman is. Let's just rip away the sheeting behind it and really look at what would happen today.
Anybody that reads comics,
The dog's on fire.
Anybody that's reading Superman right now should just stop and read Supreme Power.
I don't know. I mean, Quietly's art is amazing.
Well,
and Grant Morrison.
There will always be exceptions.
I read the new X-Men when Morrison was writing it. I didn't read it before. I didn't read it after.
See, now tell me, there's no way a person could... Okay, knowing who Grant Morrison is, and then knowing what X-Men is, can you imagine crazy chaos mage Grant Morrison going, why I get to fuck with X-Men?
He's fucking with Superman.
And now he gets to fuck with... Can you imagine the fucking... I mean, what these people are doing with these things now, I almost am scared to read comics, because I really know that these people are turning, these legions of comic book fans, man, and there are very few of us that rise above,
Well, Warren Ellis.
No, I'm talking, well, maybe it's just...
But
the
Warren Ellis has a point. He's getting away from the superheroes.
He is.
He's trying to, at least. I think Bell he's giving it over. He's giving it over to, like, the perverts running the chaos magic scam. Like, he's like, you know, the son of our perverts.
That's what, yeah. And I'm working at this comic store and seeing these people. It's like they would talk about how great Grant Morrison is, and I'd look at him and I'd say, well, you know that he's realistically playing with reality and you.
Yeah.
These comics are
these
good.
These are magic. This
but,
is
but
a hyper sigil.
Yes, but this is the Necronomicon now. This is no longer X-Men. When Grant, this is everything Grant Morrison touches is now Mystical Tome.
Yeah, but
and then, you know, and I would say this to certain people that I thought could accept it. You know.
Yeah.
You know the people wearing the Nine Inch Nails shirts and the Skinny Puppy shirts. You know.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, I heard he was into some of that weird stuff.
And he didn't bother to Google. I mean, how hard is it to turn on?
Well, then there's people, you know, like a
search engine.
Our buddy that we know is like, yeah, I went on his website. He's really into that magic stuff, you know. And it's like, oh, people know this is not casual flippant remarks about reality. These are people exuding massive influence, as strong as those Coke commercials are that make you need to go drink Coke.
Yeah.
The reason why you say Grant Morrison is an awesome comic book writer is because he wants you to. He is, but he makes it that way.
But he's forcing reality into accepting him as
a
great comic
which
artist.
Is great, but I want more people to know that they can do this too, I guess. You know?
It's this like, is a tool.
It's not even like that. It's like New X-Men almost becomes an inside joke for those that get it.
You have to read the filth. Like, everyone should read the filth.
Everyone. I've read the filth. I own the filth.
Everyone should read the filth.
Yeah, that's essentially it. Everyone should read filth.
That's it. That's all the time we have.
Read the bill. Immediately.
The next bad example. 60